Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. That passage which was our second scripture reading, Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And our subject this morning is replacing the stony heart. Replacing the stony heart. Well, we come this morning to consider these wonderful words from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And we don't often look at this book of Ezekiel, so we just need to spend a brief time going through the context and who Ezekiel exactly is. Well, he's an Old Testament prophet, of course. He lived roughly around 600 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the prophet Ezekiel, well, it's a strange name, Ezekiel, but the meaning of the name is actually very beautiful. The meaning of the name Ezekiel, if you didn't know already, means God strengthens. That's what Ezekiel means. God strengthens. And Ezekiel was a prophet to the people of Judah at a very troubled time. They were in exile. They had been taken captive by the mighty Babylonians. The vast majority of them were not in their homeland. They had been taken captive over a number of years in stages. The Babylonians had come and would take away some of the people from Judah, from Jerusalem, and then they would go away, and then they would return and take some more people away until eventually Jerusalem itself was destroyed in 586 BC. And Ezekiel, he was one of the captives, one of those whom the Babylonians took away. And God called him to be a prophet, to give hope to the nation of Judah, to the children of Israel. They were suffering now, but there would come a time when there would be a restoration and redemption, deliverance sent from God. That was Ezekiel's message. And this is what is being spoken of in this passage, in this chapter. And we could start just looking at verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. God was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, well, just like all the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets, and we say this often, they didn't just give their own opinion. They didn't just give their own ideas. God spoke through them. Thus saith the Lord God. And we have to make this point because people don't understand it. We often describe it in this way. The Old Testament prophets were like pens in the hand of the Almighty God. You use a pen. You use a pen to write down what you want to say. And so it's the same with the Lord. The Lord God used men to put down what he wanted to say. So it wasn't their ideas, it wasn't their word. Thus saith the Lord, we read repeatedly in the Old Testament. So Ezekiel is giving the people a message from God. The Bible is not the work of men, as many people say. God is speaking through them. And what does the Lord say? Thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen. Jeremiah was going to bring them a message of hope. God was going to bring them a message of hope, but not because they deserved it. They didn't deserve it. I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. Israel had sinned against God. That's why Israel were in such a bad state. That's why they had been taken captive, because they'd sinned against God. They had turned to foreign idols and gods and so on. So God is saying, I don't do this for your sake. You don't deserve to be saved. But I'm going to show you how merciful I am. It's for God's glory. How merciful I am. That's why he's going to do this for Israel, not because they deserve it. And verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. That's what the Israelites did. They profaned God's name, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. But look at verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Well, that's what God was going to do for the Israelites. The Israelites were scattered in many countries after the fall of Jerusalem, particularly. But God says he will gather them back from all the nations. That's what would happen to Israel. But also, it is the way in which God gathers in Christian people. These words really are fulfilled in the gospel age because, well, this is how God gathers in Christians from every nation, from every culture, from every tongue. These words, they reach their true fulfillment in the gospel age when the gospel will go out and every nation will be touched, every continent, and they will be gathered in. So these words are starting to take on New Testament meaning. And verse 25 particularly is full of New Testament terminology, gospel terminology. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, which I will I cleanse you. Well, this is most certainly New Testament language. It's talking about the removal of sin. God will sprinkle clean water and ye shall be clean. We can only have our sins removed from us through Christ. That's the only way these words can be fulfilled. It's not through the Old Testament sacrifices. Not through the animal sacrifices. Those words can never be fulfilled in the Old Testament age. This is looking ahead to the New Testament. That's when we will truly be cleansed and washed. It's only by the blood of Christ, not by the blood of the Old Testament sacrifices. So you see, when we read these words, it's not just talking about Israel and deliverance for Israel. We are being taught gospel truths and the washing and cleansing away of all our sins. But it's verse 26 that I want to focus on this morning and draw out all the gospel applications. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And the word that I want to focus on in that verse is the word that is mentioned three times, the word heart. A new heart also will I give you. Well, the heart is very important. The heart in every sense, on every level. Now, we could spend a lot of time just speaking about the heart in our bodies, the physical heart. We could spend a lot of time talking about how wonderfully it has been designed, how wonderfully it is made. An amazing pump. Well, in fact, it's actually two pumps in one. A pump that pumps blood around the body, 72 pumps a minute. If you're a healthy young person, in a day your heart beats 100,000 times. And in an average lifetime, the heart will pump 1 million barrels of blood around the body. That's your heart. Always pumping, and it never wears out. How long does a pump in this world, a man-made pump, how long does that last? But this pump, well, the heart, the beating heart, and of course, you can feel your heart beating all the time. All you need to do is check your pulse, Sometimes if you put your fingers in your ears, you can hear your heart beating. You know it's there. It's always there. The beating heart doing its work. And well, it reminds us of our mortality. I remember when I was a young person, I would always get nervous checking my pulse, trying to find my heartbeat if I found it, because I would always be worrying, what if it stops? What if it stops while my finger is on the pulse? It's a reminder of your mortality because, of course, you're not in charge of your heart. You're not the one who switched your heart on. When you were in the womb, you didn't have any say over it, any power over it. It was God who set your heart beating. It was God's work. And well, of course, you are not in charge of when your heart stops beating. God is in charge of that. There was a very well-publicized event, and I've spoken about this before, a Premier League footballer in one of the European tournaments. He was very fit, an athlete, and in the middle of a game, his heart stopped. He wasn't in charge of that. God is in charge of all those things. So when you feel your heart beating, you remember, you are in the hands of God. Your life is in the hands of God. So this is a very humbling thing, just to feel your heartbeat, to feel your pulse. It's a reminder that you must give thanks to God for every minute that you have in this life. But, well, these words, though, they're not speaking about the physical heart in our body, because you can take that word heart in another sense, the heart that is not physical, the heart that is part of your soul, that is part of your character, your affections, your emotions. The heart, well, it's vital for true spiritual life. We often say that Christianity is a heart religion. Christianity is a heart religion, a religion that engages the heart, not simply the head. Many people know a lot about religion. Many people know a lot about the Bible. They can quote large parts of it. They know a lot about theology. They know a lot about church history. But that's not really the important thing. Do you love God? Yes, you have a lot of head knowledge. You know a lot of things. But do you actually love God with all your heart? If you don't love God, well, that is something very serious. If you don't love God, your religion is worthless. The Bible teaches us that so many times. Why, it would be like a husband about to be married to his wife, and he knows a lot about his wife. He knows what she likes, what she doesn't like. He knows her favorite color. He knows her background, her life history. But he doesn't love her. Would that be a true marriage? That would be a worthless marriage. He knows a lot about his wife, but he doesn't love his wife. That would be worthless. And so it's the same with religion. Is there anybody here? You know a lot about God, but you don't actually love God. Your heart is not engaged. Dear friends, that must be corrected. And well, of course, God can see our hearts. I cannot see your heart. I cannot challenge you directly on this point. But we read, well, repeatedly in the scriptures, God searches the heart of each and every one of us. God knows everything in the heart. God knows the secrets of the heart. We can hide it from one another. We cannot hide it from ourselves. God can see the true state of that which is within us. And well, when we look at these words in verse 26, we have to ask ourselves, what is the state of the heart? Do we have a stony heart? Ezekiel, or the Lord God, through Ezekiel, is saying, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Well, this is the heart, the stony heart, is the heart that we have by nature. By nature, And well, I don't need to repeat this. I say this every week. By nature, we are fallen. We have stony hearts toward God. What does that mean? Well, you think of a stone. A stone is cold. Cold. That's what a stone is. Cold to the touch. Are you like that toward God? Are you cold to the things of God? Unwilling to hear about God? If somebody was cold to you as a person, that means they don't really want to know you. They're not interested. They're quite hostile to you. That person is very cold to me. Are you like that to God? You're not interested. You're hostile to the gospel. That is very sad. Do you have a stony heart? A stone is hard, of course. Are you hard-hearted toward the gospel? You may hear about Christ. You may hear every week. Hear wonderful things about Christ, about his kindness, about how he cares for people. You read the gospel, how Christ was so full of loving kindness, how he had mercy upon sinners, how he preached forgiveness for sin. And well, you hear the gospel invitation that goes out to you personally. Come and know the Lord. Come and know his forgiveness. Come and know his grace. You just harden your heart. I am not going to be moved by the gospel. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm not going to let the gospel take root in my heart, because you have a stony heart. Stony ground. Is that you? You hear these wonderful things, words of truth, but I have a stony heart. I'm not going to be affected or moved. That's what a stony heart is. And well, this is something that is so very sad. You know, we could point to other passages of scripture. The prophet Jeremiah, who was a contemporary of Ezekiel, he pointed out another great flaw with the human heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Do you know that you can be deceived by your own heart? You can be deceived by your own heart. You know, we have all these pop songs and all these films that tell us, follow your heart, listen to your heart. But do you know that your heart can deceive you? It can trick you. Yes, your own heart. How does it deceive you? Well, it can deceive you into loving the wrong things. The heart tricks you into loving the wrong things. Having the wrong desires, following after the wrong things, things that are bad for you, things that will injure you, things that will leave you brokenhearted. Perhaps there's somebody here who's brokenhearted. So many people in this world, well, they thought they were doing the right thing. I will reject God. I will follow my own way. I will follow the way of the world. They gave their heart to the world, and I'll indulge myself in every sin, and I'll live life how I want to be. And how does it end up? They're actually brokenhearted. They're brokenhearted. That's what happens. Dear friends, this is very serious. If you are without God this day, your heart is in very bad health. It's a fallen, stony heart. And what God is offering here, well, really, this is a heart transplant. A heart transplant. God says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, a heart transplant. That's what God is offering here. So important. If anybody has had a heart transplant, I don't know if anyone here has, but if you ever were to have one, well, it would be because your life depended upon it. You don't have a heart transplant just for fun. You must have this operation or else you will die. It's so very important to have a heart transplant. Well, it's the same here in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual life. You must know this heart transplant. You must have the stony heart removed and a new heart given to you, or else you will die. You will die. What kind of death will you die? Well, you will face a lost eternity. Eternity is at stake here. We live on this earth only for a very short time, and then we face eternity. What will it be like for you? Will it be eternal life or eternal death? Banished from God, forsaken by God? You must have this heart transplant. If you want to live, if you want eternal life, then you must have this occur to you. The stony heart taken away, the heart of flesh given to you. That's the only way that you may live. It's so important. I will give you an heart of flesh, says the Lord. Well, a heart of flesh is very different to a heart of stone. Flesh can be touched. Flesh can be moved, affected. It's sensitive to the touch. So somebody who has a heart of flesh, well, they are moved by the gospel when they realize who Christ is. Christ really is the Son of God. He really came down from heaven to earth. He really did die on the cross. And why did he die on the cross? Well, it was for my sin. That's what a tender heart realizes, a heart of flesh. It was for my sin. I have sinned. I have done wicked and terrible things, but Christ took upon himself the punishment for my sin. What a wonderful, glorious act of love. I hear it now, and now my heart is moved. You have a heart of flesh. It's not stony anymore. Christ loved me, and he gave himself for me. And so therefore I will love him, and I will give myself for him. He who knew no sin, remember, Christ never sinned. He took upon himself the punishment for our sin. What a tremendous Savior. You hear these things and suddenly you're moved. You're affected. Christ loved me. I will go to him. I will give myself to him. And look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. When the heart is changed, well, then there is repentance. This is really what this is speaking of. No longer do you want to go your own way. You don't follow the way of the world anymore. You walk in God's ways, in my statutes, says God, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's repentance. And well, so many people hate that word repentance, but you know what repentance is? It's an act of love. It's actually an act of love. Christ has died for you, and you love him. And this is how much you love him. I love him so much, I will turn away from the world, turn away from sin. Even though everybody laughs at me, even though everybody hates me, I will repent. Repentance is an act of love, love for God. And that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when somebody repents. Well, let's just look at those last words in verse 28. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Well, again, remember this passage, these words are not just for Israel. This is talking about spiritual and eternal things. This applies just as much to us. We shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, the land, the promised land given to Abraham, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Abraham was promised a spiritual land. A land that you enter into by faith. That's the land that we all know if we have faith in Christ. That's heaven. Really, this land where God will be our God and we shall be his people, that's talking about heaven. And that's what we have to look forward to if you know the Lord. a glorious eternity in heaven. We have no fear of death. The human heart, the natural heart, is so afraid of death. But the heart that God gives us is not afraid of death. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember the words of Christ, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's where we're going. That's the promised land. So we know this very well. Even when our physical hearts stop beating, and they will one day, God will transport our heart of love to be with him forevermore. That's the great promise to the Lord's people. And that is what the Lord calls us to. Dear friends, if you don't know any of these things, pray to God. Pray to the Lord. Lord, I know I have a stony heart. I know that if I don't have this heart transplant, if my heart doesn't change, I will die. I will be apart from thee for all eternity. Lord, help me. You cannot give yourself a new heart. You cannot do it. It's only God who can give you that. Create in me a clean heart, said David. And that's the prayer that we all need to pray if we are to be made right with God. Pray to him, seek him, and you will find him. And dear friends, when you find him, I can promise you this, you will find the greatest love that your heart will ever know. These are the words of the Lord our God. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. May these words be impressed upon the hearts of each and every one. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, look upon us, look upon the heart of each and every one. Perhaps there has been a heart that has been troubled by all that they have heard. Lord, comfort them and help them to know that they can come and know the love and grace of God even this day. Bless, Lord, we pray, and we thank thee for these glorious, these wonderful words of invitation. Thou art the God who bids us come that we may know life forevermore. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.